The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The information and ideas provided within this show are intended for educational purposes only and not intended as investment advice. The hosts of this show do not provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your tax or legal professional regarding your individual situation. No information should be interpreted as securities advice. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, and investment professionals. While we have endeavored to ensure the accuracy of the information in this program, we do not guarantee or give any warranty as to the accuracy, timeliness, or completeness of any information. The process of buying and selling a business can be frightening for the parties involved. What paperwork is needed? What is the true market value of the business? How do you know what transactions are required to be processed in addition to the sale of the business? Welcome to Biz Broker Talk, where you'll find the answers to these questions and much more. Your hosts, Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding, have a decade of experience providing business broker services to large and small businesses. Today, they're ready to help you. Here's Robert and Doug.
Welcome to Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells. And
this is Doug Scheiding.
Today, we're going to talk about small business funding strategies. I like to think of it as alternate sources of funding that's alternate to the standard securitized bank collateralized loans that's traditionally been done. As we've had this economic downturn post-2009, I guess you'd say, it's become more difficult to do acquisition lending. And so for today's show, we're going to be speaking with an expert in the field. Joining us will be Dallas Curley. He's a chief development officer at Benetrends, and he's going to review business funding strategies. There are really three main areas we're going to cover today. The first is the 401k rollover funding. It's also known as the rollover for business funding. And we're also going to talk about SBA loans and securitized loans. And with that, we need to preface the call that's how Doug and I purchased our business.
Actually, it was we purchased a franchise and used that money as a rollover and purchased the business.
And that's probably one of the best investments we ever made, because in doing so, we were able to roll over our investments from our 401k at our prior employers and roll that over and invest in our new company. And those monies that we didn't need in our company, we were able to put into a self-directed investments, just similar to what you have at your current corporate employer. So I think that's important to understand that's how we did ours, and we did that 10 years ago, and a lot has changed. And so let's bring on Dallas Curley. Welcome, Dallas.
Thank you, Robert. You know, you hit the nail on the head. Certainly funding strategies have changed since the collapse of Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns, and entrepreneurs and potential business owners are seeking out different and alternative ways to fund it. You know, home equity loans, certainly once at one time the bread and butter of small business financing and purchasing, more problematic now. A lot of people don't have that equity in their home. So one of the more popular strategies recently, as you had indicated, is what's known as 401k rollover funding. You know, it's called 401k rollover funding, but really almost any qualified retirement plan is applicable to this strategy, whether it's a thrift savings plans for government employees, 457s, 403bs, as well as your traditional IRAs. A Roth IRA, unfortunately, is not eligible for this program. But it's one of the more popular funding strategies, and recent statistic in the franchise industry, at least, which tracks this closely, 10% of the franchises sold in the country utilize this as part of their funding strategy. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why this has become more popular, and like to dig into that a little bit if I can.
Sure. I mean, I think that the issue is it is a somewhat complex transaction. You need a professional firm such as Benetrends to handle the transaction. The advice I give people is to let Benetrends set up the corporation. Let them do your corporate papers, because down the road, it's the service after the sale. It's keeping you in compliance with the IRS and the department layer that was what we found favorable.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not a process that you'd want to take on your own. You certainly want to work with a company that has the experience in doing it. If you do it wrong, you may be subject to taxes and penalties. However, if it's created properly, it passes through the IRS's tests, and it's a great wealth building and funding strategy.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the process of it and who your clients are for that?
Sure. It's really a wide breadth of clients. We have corporate refugees who are tired of the hamster wheel in corporate America. We have people who have been laid off. People who've retired early and are not ready for, fishing on the beach. And, really anybody who has access to their retirement plans and has a dream of business ownership. Our typical client is probably from 40 to 60 years old.
Well, that's a great span. And I think there's also a minimum dollar amount that you all recommend having in your retirement funds before you enter to a program like yours.
Right. One of the reasons to do this program is really to avoid having to pay any taxes or penalties when you withdraw those funds. So we typically would say $50,000. The reason we say that is, if you have to pay taxes and penalties on $25,000, it's probably less expensive than really setting up this program. So, we want to make sure that it makes sense for you to do this, or if there's a cheaper alternative, we'll certainly steer you that way.
What about the time frame? A lot of people want to get the deal done quickly, and they want to get something done in a couple weeks, and it's been our experience that it really depends on how quickly they can move and how quickly the firm is that holds or manages those funds, or how quickly those can be turned over.
Yeah, absolutely. Different companies have different criteria for how quickly they can release your current retirement funds. So, for example, if it's at a bank, sometimes they hold on to the funds a little longer and may only release those at one day each month. But typically, I would say it takes 3 to 4 weeks for the entire process. Some states, as part of this process, is incorporating. California is taking 6 weeks to incorporate, so that can slow down the process, although they do have, for an extra fee, the ability to expedite.
Of course.
But it can be done in as few as 10 days if all the stars align.
What are you seeing with the market in this type of a financing? What do you see happening in the market right now? I mean, it's a new year, and we've gone through kind of a, in my opinion, a kind of a flat 2013. But, what are you seeing in this portion of your business?
I would say that this continues to grow. One thing that we're seeing that's different from previous years is due to the tight credit market in previous years, most people were utilizing this as the sole means to fund their new business. Now we're seeing people utilizing it as a capital injection for their SBA loans. So typically, if you need that 20 to 30% down equity injection for an SBA loan, a lot of times people are accessing their retirement funds to obtain that money.
Hey, Dallas, is Doug. Perhaps you could go into a little bit of the history of Benetrends and how you got into this market as really the market leader, and explain a little bit more fully the process of how it's done.
Sure. Well, we've been around for more than 30 years. Our founder, Len Fisher, was the original architect of this strategy. Benetrends was founded as a pension plan and design administration firm, and we found that the ERISA law allows for a strategy like this that can help entrepreneurs purchase a business utilizing their retirement funds. So rather than buy stock in Yahoo, Google, or eBay, we find more and more people are wanting to invest in their own business. It's a relatively simple process. It's a four-step process, and first step is we create a corporation. That corporation, in turn, will sponsor a new retirement plan. So very similarly, if you worked at a large corporation, say a Johnson & Johnson, you could participate in their 401k plan and buy mutual funds such as a Vanguard Mutual Fund or Fidelity, but you generally would also have the opportunity to purchase their corporate stock or Johnson & Johnson stock. The retirement plan that we create for you also has those same provisions. So once that retirement plan is created, we then roll over your existing retirement funds from your IRA, 401k, or other plan into the new retirement plan. Because it's going from one retirement plan to another retirement plan, there are no taxes or penalties due at that time. Once the funds are in the new retirement plan, you then elect to purchase shares in the parent corporation. That corporation, from the sale of those shares, now has the money to purchase a business. All tax deferred and penalty free.
And that's a qualified investment.
That is correct. It is a qualified investment.
And each plan that you set up gets its own personal private letter ruling from the IRS?
Yeah, we are a volume submitter, so the IRS has reviewed our plan document and has deemed that as passable under the ERISA law. We do have the ability to customize the document to suit an entrepreneur's special needs and customize it, so it's not just a cookie-cutter plan. Now, we've been doing this for, as I mentioned, for 30 years. We've done over 10,000 of these and have never had an IRS problem.
And so one of the benefits we've seen is the ability for there not to be a credit issue on the part of the buyer.
Right. So because you're accessing your own funds, it doesn't matter whether you've had a bankruptcy. It doesn't affect your credit rating. It doesn't affect your credit ratio. So if you're looking to purchase a home, this will not be reflected on your credit report.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was going to say for those, you know, in the economy that we've had recently who may have struggled with credit, they still have the ability to access their funds and purchase a business.
One of the things that I think is important to point out to sellers is why this is important is this is an alternate source of financing. A lot of times owners are trying to sell their business and the individual either doesn't have direct industry experience or they don't have great credit or they don't have enough liquidity. This is a way for to help structure the sale well by the seller's not carrying this huge note to affect the sale to whoever it may be, the heir apparent, the smaller business down the street that's in the similar industry or an outside buyer in general. This is a way that reduces the amount that a seller would have to carry, if any money at all.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, I think that, you know, while this is popular, not everybody knows about it. So if you have a seller in that situation, you know, they can mention this as a possible strategy because the individual looking to purchase the business may not be aware of it. So if the seller can be proactive when they're in negotiations and they're trying to structure the deal, you know, having more than $4 trillion in 401k money in the country, that's certainly a viable funding strategy.
And what do you think the ratio is that people roll over and they invest in the business versus go and reinvest it through a self-directed plan? I mean, is that, do y'all have any gauge of that?
I would say that as a percentage of an individual's total plan, so if somebody has, you know, $400,000 in an IRA or a 401k, we're seeing typically that they may use 60% to purchase it. Every individual is different. Some have different risk tolerances. And, you know, some people don't want any loans, so they'll use all the money to purchase the business. Other will just use it again, as I mentioned, as a injection for a conventional or SBA loan.
And so after you've got your corporation set up and you've been running it a few years, we've had to have the benefit of then to take excess profits and put it back into the market through our self-directed plan. And that's freedom that you wouldn't have typically had with an employer.
Right. It's certainly, you know, and one thing that often gets overlooked is that, you know, this is a wealth building strategy. So, you know, most people go into business to make a lot of money. The last thing you want to do is hand it over to the and taxes to the government. So this is one way that you can pay back dividends, buy back stock and really build wealth for the future.
OK. Any other thoughts on the what y'all call the Rainmaker program?
Well, you know, one thing that can, you know, reduce the emotional concerns is that an individual utilizing this can use the proceeds from their retirement plan to pay themselves a salary while they get the business up and running or turning around a business that's underperforming. So that can certainly ease some of the emotional strain for the family.
Right. And sellers can use this as a methodology of bringing in additional capital for growth. It doesn't necessarily need to be for an acquisition, does it?
That's correct. It can be used as a to expand a business, or increase marketing, or hire employees. Any legitimate business expense.
This is Doug. One of the things in terms of the rollover and misconceptions was that in my case, I didn't roll over the entire amount that I had from my plan. I just rolled over a part of that into the plan.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to roll over 100%. You can roll over 100% and only use, you know, whatever percentage you'd like, 40%, 50%, and keep the balance in the traditional investments. Or you can keep the bulk of your retirement plan where it is currently custody and just roll over the amount you need for the business. A lot of flexibility with the program.
And there's, you'll probably have a better way of stating this. There's hand-holding. I mean, when someone contacts Benetrends, they're going to be assigned an account manager. Or, you know, in our case, we have had one individual we worked with all the way through the program to educate you about it, help you set up your profit sharing plan and trust, get the corporation's paper set up, and maybe talk a little bit about how y'all's customer service end of it, how that works.
Sure, absolutely. We do the hand holding from start to finish. So we will do the incorporation for you. So you don't have to contact a lawyer. We will handle all incorporations. We'll set up the profit sharing plan. We administer and do all the paperwork for the profit sharing plan. We file the Form 5500, which is the tax document for the profit sharing plan. We even do the corporate minutes for you.
Okay. Any other last thoughts on that before we go to a break?
Well, I would encourage people to think about this as a strategy. Although you may not be familiar with it, it's more common than you would probably imagine.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about SBA lending.
Comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Business brokerage is a very regional business due to the requirement of having face-to-face buyer and seller meetings. While Robert and Doug are regionally centric to South Central Texas with their brokerage company, Business Brokers of San Antonio, and their equipment appraisal company, Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio, they have also established BizBrokerTalk.com to help assist sellers and buyers with finding professionals in a variety of areas required in the business transaction process. This includes certified business brokers, SBA loan packagers, 401k conversion companies, lenders, as well as other necessary advisory sources. Whether you're selling or buying a business, you need a team of professionals on your side to guide you through the process. Visit BizBrokerTalk.com today. And if you're in the South Texas area, please visit Business Brokers of San Antonio at bbofsa.com or Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio at eaofsa.com. Game-changing technologies and strategies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up your status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to take your coffee break with Game Changers on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time for our special series on today's Biz Buzz. Learn how you can become the technology innovator who takes your company across the finish line as you look ahead to the next breakthrough business and industry strategy. Biz Buzz with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you may send an email to podcast@bizbrokertalk.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells
and Doug Scheiding.
Today we're speaking with Dallas Curley of Benetrends, and we have been talking about the rollover business startup program, allowing you to roll over your 401k or IRA or similar program to fund the acquisition of a business or working capital. Let's maybe talk about a few examples, Dallas.
Sure. You know, we had talked about, you know, one of the reasons people utilize this strategy is the tax savings. So, you know, I like to use the illustration of a $200,000 IRA. So if an individual has a $200,000 IRA and they're under 59 and a half, and they decide to access that their savings to purchase a business, immediately they'll have to pay a 10% penalty for early withdrawal. So of the $200,000, that's $20,000. And then the other $200,000 would put them in at least the 30% tax bracket, assuming that they don't have any other salary from that year. So state and federal income tax at 30% is another $60,000. So an entrepreneur starting with $200,000, after they pay their taxes and penalties, they've lost $80,000, and they only have $120,000 remaining to start their business. You know, with this strategy, they have access to the full $200,000 and are not subject to those 10% and 30% taxes and penalties. It's really one of the driving forces of why this has become so popular. But, you know, it's not the only funding strategy out there. Certainly SBA loans are still a popular and viable strategy. They've been a little more problematic in the past years than they were previously. But we're seeing this year that it is loosening up some.
Is that, now, that's not regionally or state by state. That's nationally that the how those are funded, right?
That is correct, yes.
And so I guess the there's two types of SBA loans primarily, correct?
Right. There's the 504 loan and the 7A loan. They're the two most common. There are a few other smaller SBA loans. But the big differentiator between the two is a 504 loan must include real estate or heavy equipment. The 7A is generally the most popular, and even some banks, if there's real estate involved, they'll still prefer to do the 7A loan.
Well, on the 504 and the you said that it's been loosening up. Hasn't that been more real estate oriented loans? At least that's what we've been seeing.
Yeah, you know, certainly the banks have an appetite for real estate now. You know, they certainly think they're getting the real estate at a devalued nature. So if there's a problem with the loan, you know, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road, they're assuming that the real estate will appreciate to cover that. But even in the smaller loans, I think that, you know, there's some statistics of the $100 billion small business credit gap. What we saw in the past was the SBA in a newspaper are saying that they've lent more money than they ever have in the past, which is true. But it's been fewer loans. What they've done is the banks make, you know, more money off larger loans for the same amount of work as a smaller loan. So they're certainly tending towards the $500,000 and up SBA loans as opposed to the $150,000 to $250,000 loan. But they came out with a new program last year called the SLA loan, Small Loan Advantage. And so we see more banks now taking a look at some of the smaller loans.
Yeah, I think the when we see statistics from traditional lenders, you know, the big national banks about their SBA programs, when you actually sit down and talk to them or look at the numbers, it's mainly 504, you know, it's owner-occupied property, it's the real estate, it's not so much business acquisition. The business acquisition is, in our opinion, is mainly 7A. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say that probably of the SBA loans that we do a year, probably 85 to 90% are the 7A loan. As I mentioned, it's a little easier for the bank to do, and even if there's real estate involved, typically they're still going with the 7A loan program.
And what's the process with that?
Sure, it's relatively, I guess it can be either painless or cumbersome depending on how you look at it. It's certainly not as easy as, say, getting an auto loan. A little bit harder maybe even than a home mortgage.
Ouch.
Process can take 30 to 60 days, but we do work with quite a few banks that are familiar with our process. And we can typically, when we get our loan package back from the borrower, we can get an approval within 10 to 15 business days. But there's a few criteria that you need to do. You need to have strong personal credit. I often get the question, what is strong personal credit? Typically, a bank was looking for 650 FICO score or above.
Oh, that's actually lower than I thought.
Yeah, I was thinking it should be around 7.
Yeah, you know, we have a few banks that are more interested in a credit story than a credit score, which is always nice to hear. So if you've had some issues, whether it be health, a divorce, loss of job, you know, if there's a good story behind it, they'll look towards the lower end of the FICO scale. Typically, they're looking for 20 to 30% down. Written business plan, and it needs to be a fairly comprehensive business plan. 3 years of tax returns, a resume, and you know, when I say a resume, you know, they don't care what your GPA was in high school or college. They're looking more for an experience.
A little business acumen.
Right, exactly, and a personal financial statement.
And so then what you're saying, that 20 to 30% down, that's actually cash ejection by the buyer, which would then bring in the rollover of the 401k.
Right. You know, if we look at that and somebody's looking at a $300,000 to $400,000 business, when they're looking at getting $60,000 to $80,000 or more, typically they have that in their IRA, maybe not in their passbook savings account. That's why we're seeing that increase in really the two working together hand in hand. And the other interesting thing is we're finding banks, we have a higher approval rate when a borrower is utilizing that rollover, because typically they have a greater post-closing liquidity, which the bank likes to see.
Absolutely, and they can use that perhaps for some working capital after they purchase the business too.
Right. You know, that's a common thing that we run into is many borrowers will try to get by with the smallest loan they can, thinking that it's easier to get approved. But typically we find the banks would rather see a safety net built into the loan. So, you know, they'd rather see a pretty robust working capital contingency fund in case there's construction outside the store and, you know, business falls off for a month or two.
Absolutely. Not having enough working capital post-transaction is one of the top two reasons why a business fails after a buyer purchases it.
You know, I can honestly say in all my years in doing this, I've never had anybody come back to me and say, you know, I had too much money to start my business.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. What's a rule of thumb you use, or is there a standard?
Well, you know, it really depends on the size of the business and what the expected break-even point is, whether it's a turnaround and the cash flow of the business. But certainly a safety net is something that that we'd like to see.
Now, we've been telling buyers they need to have at least 90 days liquidity on hand to run their lives and run the business at a minimum.
Yeah, and you know, that's certainly one of the things that the bank looks at is, you know, the ability to cover your personal debt service, you know, above and beyond what the business debt service is.
Now, the 401k Rainmaker plan is used a lot in franchise purchases. In terms of lending, do they, franchisors, look at that program as part of the net worth and liquidity?
Yes, they do, and as do the banks. In fact, just the ability to have that as an option, even if you don't utilize it, banks look at that as a potential source of liquidity that they know should you run into trouble or be undercapitalized, you can always go back and do one of these programs and access that extra capital. So we're seeing a higher approval rate because of that.
Now, it's also used for the 504 loan program. Can you explain that a little bit in more detail?
How the 504 program works?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, the 504 program is a little different than the 7A. On a 7A program, the government guarantees either 75% of the loan for loans over $150,000 to 85% for loans under $150,000. On the 504 loan program, because it typically includes real estate, it's structured a little bit different. The bank will take a first mortgage of 50%. You typically, because there's real estate involved, you need to only put down 10% out of your pocket as a cash injection. And then the SBA will sell the remaining 40% of the loan to Wall Street as a guarantee. So structured a little bit different, but again, it needs to include a viable real estate.
And are those the CDC type companies that you hear about?
Yes. Community development companies.
And is, I guess the focus right now is, since we did talk about corporate refugees, a lot of corporate refugees like to, as they say in franchising, be on their own but not alone. And so y'all kind of interface with a lot of franchisors and have programs set up for funding.
Yeah, I think it was Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, who said franchising is being in business for yourself but not by yourself. So, you know, it's a great way to get into business if you don't have that business experience. Many of the banks that are looking for business experience will often take franchisor training in lieu of that experience. We work with the majority of the franchises in the IFA, the International Franchise Association, and certainly have a streamlined process for that type of funding. In fact, for the SBA, we have a proprietary $100 million fund for certain franchises that have been vetted by us and have money set aside for them specifically.
Okay. And what's the look of the, I guess, when you're dealing with someone comes in and says, hey, here's what my financials look like, and you are then consulting with them and say, hey, you know, this is the program you should use, or this is a, you should use this much of one program and this much of the other. I mean, kind of, what's the analysis that's done?
Sure. Typically what we want to do is ask a series of questions on your personal financial health. So get an idea of what type of liquid capital you have in savings, what you have in investments, what your expenses are, do you have home equity, what your credit score is. And then we also try to get an idea of what your risk tolerances are. You know, some people want to use as much of other people's money as they possibly can. Other entrepreneurs say, listen, I want to cover all the bases. I don't want to have a debt burden hanging over my head. I want to pay as much out of pocket as I can. So we try to gauge that, and then we'll typically offer, you know, either 2 to 3 funding strategies. And then we can talk about the pros and cons of each of them and see what fits best, you know, for your tolerances.
We've seen instances where someone did a roll over their 401k. Let's say they had $100,000. They injected $50,000 of that in the business. The other $50,000 went into the market under the self-directed plan and qualified investments. And they had a loan. Maybe it was an SBA loan, back loan, or maybe it was just a traditional bank loan. And they ran into trouble, health problem, working capital. They're able to go back and borrow against those securities. They can borrow against themselves, correct?
Absolutely. You know, there's a variety of different ways they can do that. One, if they have still money left in their retirement account, they can borrow up to 50% of that balance, up to $50,000 to get them over the hump. Or they can leverage those securities if they're not within a retirement plan and get a securities-backed loan against that. Or they can sell those securities and inject them back into the business. So a lot of flexibility with that plan.
And there's no tax implications on those, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And so how does the tax man get their money?
Well, the tax man gets his money at the end of the day. there really is no free lunch. But if you when you're 70 and a half, you're required to take distributions or mandatory distributions. And on those distributions, you'll end up paying the taxes at that time.
Okay.
So you could effectively buy the business, build it up from a $300,000 business to a $600,000 business, sell that business, the proceeds would go back into your retirement plan, tax-deferred, penalty-free, so you don't have to pay any capital gains tax on that if it's a stock sale, and then invest it in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, or buy another business.
Under the ERISA rules and regulations, do you have to contribute so much of the profits every year back into the plan once you set it up?
Yeah. The IRS and the Department of Labor want to make sure that it is a viable retirement plan. So we set up a profit-sharing plan and trust initially because it's a little easier for the entrepreneur to manage. And we recommend contributing 1% a year or 3% after 3 years. So if you have employees who are making $30,000 or $50,000 after 3 years, we recommend you contribute $1,500 for the employee.
Actually, that's a good question. Who can contribute to the plan once it's set up?
Yeah, we have flexibility in that. The standard we would recommend is, 21 years or older, a full-time employee that has been working for the company for more than a year or a year or more. But we have some people that like to modify that and make that available to them immediately as well.
So they become they get the opportunity. Employees get the opportunity to participate in the plan.
Right now, the plan that we construct is only rollover funds are eligible to purchase the company stock.
Right.
And it can be non-voting stock or a different class of stock. But typically within that program, you can set up a 401k should you wish to do that in conjunction with a profit-sharing plan. And they would have investment options available to them, mutual funds typically as well, that they can contribute to that.
And from a trustee or directing the profit-sharing plan, typically who does that?
Typically, the owner of the business is the trustee of the plan, and they do have a fiduciary responsibility to the plan to not do anything that would mitigate the goals of the retirement plan. In other words, they can't decide to give half the company away for free to a relative or friend.
Yeah, but you could also have, you know, Merrill Lynch, Edward Jones, someone like that as the administrator, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that is correct. Plan administrator.
Yeah, we do the record keeping for that, but typically you're going to want to have the investment options at a Merrill Lynch, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, Wells Fargo, somebody like that.
On the SBA loans, can you update us on the changes for SBA and goodwill? There seems to be some misconceptions on how much SBA lending is for goodwill.
You know, that's has been in flux, and I know they've made some significant changes in 2014, but I have to admit that my chief credit officer is on top of that, and I don't have an answer for you on what the changes are on the goodwill.
Okay.
One thing that is going away that's we're all happy to hear, and it's actually going away in 30 days, is there's no more of a liquidity test. So, and, you know, at one point you couldn't have two times the liquidity of the loan amount. At this point now, there's no liquidity test, so you can be eminently wealthy and still qualify for an SBA loan.
Oh, that's a big change.
Yeah, that is. You know, we often run up to against that with some of executives who retired from corporate America that may have significant stock portfolios. That's liquidity or liquid assets, and so they may not qualify. So that does go away in 30 days. So we're all happy to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in terms of we always, as business brokers, we always suggest to buyers that they contact not just one bank and put all their eggs in one basket, but two, three, four banks, et cetera, from the standpoint of different credit rules and things like that. Have you seen that same experience?
Yeah, you know, we like to call it, you know, chocolate ice cream, vanilla, or strawberry. And, you know, every bank has a different credit box. Some are really focused on how high the FICO score is. Other banks are more focused on the available collateral. Some banks are focused on the business owner's experience or more on just the business. So, you know, if you were to apply to your local bank because you have a checking account there and you think that you have a relationship, so you go there and the business that you're looking at or you personally may not fit in their credit box, and you may get turned down and get discouraged. So, you know, we definitely would encourage applying to several different banks to try to find out. And the one thing that we have the ability to do is we know various banks' credit box, and our expertise is really matching the application to the bank that has the appetite for that type of application. But as I mentioned earlier, this is not like getting a car loan or a home mortgage. Sometimes it's that sixth or seventh application that you find the right bank that has an appetite for that. So you may get five denials before you get an approval.
Okay, great.
You can't get discouraged.
So we've been visiting with Dallas Curley, Chief Development of Benetrends. And when we come back, we'll finish conversation on SBA lending and talk about some other creative ways of financing and acquisition of a business.
The boardroom to you. Voice America Business Network.
Business brokerage is a very regional business due to the requirement of having face-to-face buyer and seller meetings. While Robert and Doug are regionally centric to South Central Texas with their brokerage company, Business Brokers of San Antonio, and their equipment appraisal company, Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio, They have also established BizBrokerTalk.com to help assist sellers and buyers with finding professionals in a variety of areas required in the business transaction process. This includes certified business brokers, SBA loan packagers, 401k conversion companies, lenders, as well as other necessary advisory sources. Whether you're selling or buying a business, you need a team of professionals on your side to guide you through the process. Visit BizBrokerTalk.com today. And if you're in the South Texas area, please visit Business Brokers of San Antonio at bbofsa.com or Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio at eaofsa.com. Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
This is Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you may send an email to podcast@bizbrokertalk.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells
and Doug Scheiding.
Today we're visiting with Dallas Curley of Benetrends, and we're talking about several different alternate lending strategies. We're going to continue talking about the SBA-backed loans, but we began today's show talking about Benetrends 401k IRA rollover program that's tax-free, penalty-free to fund acquisition of a business, or if you're already in business, the ability to get working capital from it. Dallas, you want to maybe talk a little more about the SBA programs?
Sure. You know, we had discussed, some of the problems that you may run into going to your local bank and not understanding what their credit box is. And, one of the strategies that we utilize here at Benetrends, as I mentioned earlier, is knowing individual banks' credit box and trying to match that application to the bank that has the appetite for that application. You know, applying for an SBA loan, there's, quite a few documents, and really having that business plan dialed in so that the loan officer can see the vision of the business being profitable and the loan going to fruition. Sometimes we get a business plan in at Benetrends, and the client will say that their living expenses are $100,000 a year. The business is going to cash flow $60,000, and they have $20,000 working capital. Well, they're $20,000 short, so many times the loan officer is not going to tell you why they're turning down the application. They're just going to say that, they're unwilling to fund it. So utilizing a firm like Benetrends is certainly can streamline that process and take a lot of the headaches out of doing that. We have a great procedure here. What we do is an internal underwriting. So we'll send you the required document. We'll review those documents and let you know whether we think that we can get it funded. Now, we work with about 100 banks across the country, all with different credit boxes. But once we've established that in our internal underwriting that we believe we can get you funded, we have a 94% approval rating from that point on.
Wow.
That's significant.
And in fact, we guarantee an approval. If we're unable to get you an approval, we refund any fees that we've charged you less $250. So I don't think there's anybody else in the industry that's that has that type of program.
No, not that I've heard.
Yeah, what are some of the fees that as part of the process?
Sure. If it's an SBA loan under $350,000, it's $2,250. If it's over $350,000 for a loan, it's $3,500. We do not charge a client unless we say that we can get an approval. So we'll do the internal underwriting. We'll help you put your plan together, do all that work for free. And then if we say, hey, we believe we can get you funded, at that point we'll issue a service agreement for those fees. And it's also interesting that, people sometimes are concerned about paying those fees. If you don't pay a fee to Benetrends, the bank will charge you that packaging fee as well. So it's really no more expensive to utilize a service like Benetrends than it is to go directly to your bank.
And they won't have the guarantee of refund.
Yeah, they won't have that guarantee, that's for sure.
Well, what are the, in terms of setting up the 401k Rainmaker plan, what are some of the fees associated with that?
Yeah, the fee to set up the Rainmaker, or that rollover program, and it's inclusive of doing the incorporation as well, is just under $5,000, $4,995. And that's all inclusive. Now, one thing to understand is once that's established and you have that retirement plan, you know, as you both know, that needs to be administered. So we have a qualified retirement plan. We need to make sure that there's eligibility for the employees, that any contributions are tallied, any loans that you may take against it, we vet all those loans as well. And that comes to $1,440 a year. We bill it in $120 a month segments.
Yeah,
and for that, as I mentioned, we do the IRS tax filing for the $5,500, the end-of-the-year business valuation, as well as corporate minutes.
I think it takes me a couple hours every year to fill out the forms and turn it over to my administrator at Benetrends, and off we go.
And right, and you know, we certainly walk you through all that and provide everything you do to make it painless as possible. We administer the plan so you can run your business and not worry about it.
And I want to say that there's a cycle of review. I think we got reviewed 2 years after we started our plan. Like every 5 or 7 years, you're up for review, and that's part of the fee.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, some amendments have to be made as the ERISA laws change and retirement plan laws change, and that's included. We make those necessary amendments.
Okay. Why don't we talk a little bit about our last segment about
security-backed loans?
The securities-backed loan we're seeing gaining in popularity, and it's an area that, again, another one of those strategies that sometimes people don't think about. So, you know, if we have an individual or a client who has a significant investment portfolio, oftentimes they'll say, "Well, I'm going to sell my stock and to purchase the business, or to help purchase the business, or for that capital injection for an SBA loan." But when they go to do that, if it's not in a retirement plan, then they're going to pay capital gains on that. So we have many times a corporate employee who may have had low-cost basis corporate stock and stock options, and if they go to sell that stock, the capital gains can be fairly significant. You know, they may have bought Google at its IPO at $60 a share, and it's $1,000 a share, so... You know, again, it's trying to avoid paying those taxes. What they may not be aware of is that just like a home equity loan, you can get a securities-backed equity loan. So instead of using the equity in your home, you can use the equity in your investment portfolio. So, again, why would you want to do that? Other than avoiding the taxes, if we look at the return of the S&P historically from World War II, it's returned about 9% a year. The interest rate on that securities-backed loan is typically running, depending on the size, 3-4%. So kind of like having your cake and eating it too. If you're able to borrow money at 4% and it's earning 9% in your portfolio, that certainly makes a lot of business sense. You can get funded in 10 days or less, so it's quick. And the interest rate is less than an SBA loan, which right now is hovering 5.75% to 6%.
That's significant. And you don't have to pay the taxes. That's great. Is there a limit on how much value that you can do, up to 60, 70, 80, 90%?
Yeah, if it's an equity portfolio, stock portfolio, for lack of another name, typically it's a 70% loan to value. So if you had a $200,000 portfolio, you could borrow $140,000 against that. If it's a bond portfolio or fixed income, it's 80% of that value. Then they have treasury bills can go up to 90. If it's a blend of those, then certainly the loan to value is a blend of that as well. But it's important to understand that you keep all the appreciation in the portfolio. You keep all the dividends. The stocks remain in your name as well. So it's a great way to continue to have your portfolio grow and just leverage that that ability to purchase a business using them. So there's no need to sell your stock.
So if you have an account with like Schwab or something like that, you can use that and access it?
Yes, typically what we, you know, we work with a few providers and we shop around to get the best terms. Whoever decides to have the best terms for that loan, typically you would need to move your account so they have access to it should it need to. But the stocks remain in your name and you can still trade within that portfolio as well. So you're not locked into your current investments. You know, should you want to sell stock and buy another, that's certainly available to you. One of the criteria they do have typically is that they won't take into account any stock less than $5 in face value.
Oh, no penny stocks.
no penny stocks. A little too volatile.
Stay away from those anyway. That's good advice. Yeah. Well, we do have a couple of emailed questions that came in, so if I can go to a couple of those. The first one that came in is on the first segment on the 401k Rainmaker program, you mentioned that Roth 401k IRA is not allowed. Can you explain why?
Yeah, the IRS code won't allow that because they've already paid taxes on that money. So it's just doesn't fall under their code of regulations allowed to be utilized for this program. So the other monies are all pre-tax dollars from your 401k or your traditional IRA, and Roth money is post-tax dollars.
It's co-mingling funds, I guess.
Exactly.
I got a headache. Okay.
Another question that came in is can you explain some of the terms of the 7A and 504 loans? You talked about the interest rate, but maybe, you know, in terms of years and blended rates and things like that.
Sure. You know, 7A loan can be either fixed rate or variable rate. Currently, there's the cap is 2.75% above prime, which means you're capped at 6%. The terms typically for a 7A that doesn't involve real estate is 7 to 10 years. If there's real estate involved, you can go out to 20 to 25 years on either the 504 or the 7A loan.
Now, are they still doing like a blended type rate if, you know, based on a business acquisition and real estate, you know, where business acquisition is 10 years and real estate is, you know, 25?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of flexibility within that program. A lot of that is determined by the bank.
By the individual bank.
Yes, exactly. So some banks, you know, I talked about working capital earlier. We had a recent loan where the bank approved the 7A loan for $200,000 for the business and then gave them a six-month interest-free working capital loan.
Wow.
Yeah, so they say there's no free money. This bank just wanted to make sure that the entrepreneur was successful. So that was, you know, often we try to get at least two to three approvals so that we can look at the terms and determine which is best. So, you know, because it's a capped rate at 2.75% above prime, the interest rate doesn't vary that much, but sometimes the terms can vary significantly as far as how much collateral they want, or how much of a capital injection, or something as mundane as, you know, an interest-free six-month working capital loan.
I guess one of the things that kind of brings to mind when you're talking about the terms is, you know, when we got into business brokerage 10 years ago, there was a period where, you know, you could fog a mirror and sign your name, they'd give you a loan, and the hurdles, you know, post-credit crisis has been significant. And, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, it's a little bit more painful than getting a home mortgage. But, you know, there is a little bit of work on the part of the buyer in being able to provide documentation, you know, tax returns. And I guess the real differentiator is if you're going to do a rollover, be whatever your qualified retirement plan is, it's simply that plan or maybe a number of plans you have, right?
Right. Yeah. The rollover certainly is quick. Relatively simple and easy, and you know, as a result of that, you know, a lot of franchisors have embraced it because it just streamlines that process.
And then the second piece would be that we've talked about is kind of the doing the SBA programs. Well, that's a lot of documentation and ability for the buyer or the applicant to provide, you know, a detailed application, but also they're going to have to prove up their tax returns and their holdings and where the money's coming from and those kind of things.
Right, and you know that business plan is really important. As I say, it needs to make sense. And you know, there's companies out there that'll do the business plan for you. There's software that'll help you with your business plan. But you know, one thing that's important is you will be talking to the loan officer. You want to make sure that you understand your business plan and that you were instrumental in preparing it. So the last thing you want to have happen is a loan officer ask you, well, how did you come up with these numbers? And your answer is, I don't know, I had a guy who built the business plan for me.
Exactly.
I'm sure that's happened.
Well, yeah, that it has.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes left. Do you want to explain the services that Benetrend's office, kind of summarize that? And
sure. You know, we're a full-service funding solutions company. So whether it's securities-backed lines of credit, the rollover funding, SBA, we can do merchant cash advance, factoring. But we also offer small business insurance, payroll, healthcare, so a variety of small business solutions. We've been doing it for 30 years. Nobody in the industry really has as much experience as we have here at Benetrend. Have 70 people at our office, all at your disposal, to really ensure that you're successful in your business. You know, our motto is funding for the life of your business. And, you know, we're not here just to get your doors opened or your first business purchased. We want to ensure your success and really to build that wealth and maximize the potential of being an entrepreneur.
Well, very good. We've been speaking today with Dallas Curley, of Chief Development Officer for Benetrends. They can be contacted through our website, BizBrokerTalk. That's BizBrokerTalk.com. Today, we reviewed the ability to roll over your 401k, IRA, or other qualified retirement plans to fund an acquisition loan or any kind of a loan. We also reviewed Benetrend's ability to work with any buyer on SBA loans, either a buyer or someone doing capital improvements to their existing business. We also talk about some securities-backed loans. Next week, Doug and I will be speaking on the subject of the business sale process. The business sale process has been basically broken down into about 10 segments of that need to occur, and we're going to review those segments and take your calls at that time. I want to thank you for joining us on Business Broker Talk, and look forward to speaking with you next week.
Thank you again for joining us today for Biz Broker Talk. Please join Robert and Doug again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. After today's show, we hope you are one step closer to a successful sale of your business.